All right, I'm going to ask the four men, the one new deacon and the three new trustees, if they would come and sit on the front row here. I'll have your wives come in just a minute, but just the guys for now, just right here on this front row. We as a church elected Brother Pete Hawley as a new deacon, and then we elected Brother Terry Kohoff and Brother George Stacy and Brother Nick Yeldman to be new trustees. And what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to introduce them to you. Of course, most of you, if not all of you, know them. And then I'm going to ask each one of them to briefly share their testimony. And then I'm going to make a couple comments about what we're going to do. We're going to have our existing deacons and trustees lay hands on them tonight and pray. And I'll tell you from the Bible what laying on of hands mean and why we're doing it tonight. And then after we do that, I just have a very short charge to them and to us. To them as they assume the offices that they're assuming, and then to us as they do assume those offices, the responsibility that we have to them. And so I'm going to take them alphabetically tonight, and so I'm going to ask Brother Pete to come in just a second. Of course, he and Gail just last week celebrated their 56th anniversary. And they have four children, two sons and two daughters, and their two daughters are here tonight, and one of their sons, and you heard Pete say that one of their other son is at home sick. Nine grandchildren, and I didn't count, have five or six of them here tonight, and then four great-grandchildren, and again, Landon's here, he's the only great that's here. But Pete and Gail joined our church last January, January the 24th, 2010, and of course he served as an usher. He helps us on Friday morning as we clean the church. He runs the vacuum pretty good, Gail, so we appreciate all that training that you've given him at home. I think Brother Wayne had you give the devotion at the December Senior Saints meeting that I missed. I'm sorry I didn't hear that. But every time we have a work day, Brother Pete's here, and I've learned to love him and appreciate him. So I'd like you to come share your testimony.
Well, I come from a Christian family. I had a mother that was a real prayer warrior. And because of those prayers, I can stand here before you and say that I know Jesus Christ as my Savior.
Amen.
I got her Bible when she passed away, and as I was thumbing through it, it said in there just these four or five little words, Pete and Russ got saved Mother's Day, 1959. And it's been a great walk with the Lord. I haven't always been as faithful and true as I should be, but he's never failed me.
Amen.
I'm just glad for my family that's here tonight. Appreciate that they're here. And I'd like to thank Gordy and Reno and Jordan and her fiance for coming, too. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Pete. Now I'd like to introduce to you Mr. Terry Kohoff. Terry and Becky. Now, no, K comes before S. Now, come on. I'm slow, but not that slow. of course, Terry, his wife, Rebecca, or Becky, as we know her. And how long have you two been married?
38 years.
And they have two daughters, and both of them are here tonight. And eight grandchildren, and I think there's six of them here tonight. And so glad that they could come. Terry and Becky joined our church a year ago, October the 18th, 2009. And right after they joined the church, they said, Preacher, hey, we'd like to invite the church over to her house for a hayride. And so for 2 years now, we've gone over to their house and to Terry's big shed, and we've had a hayride and a good time celebrating Terry and Becky are both always there on hand when we set up for a big meal and clean up and in the kitchen. And again, whenever we have work days, Terry's always here to help. And again, I've come to love and appreciate him. And so, Terry, you come.
Well, I got saved in 91, just before Thanksgiving. And I've been trying to live for the Lord ever since. I know it's hard to believe, but I wasn't a nice guy before that. You know, the Lord said he forgot everything that I've ever done before since 91.
That's right.
And I forgot it too, so I can't tell you what happened from them. But I'm just appreciate the family to be here, and I try to let the Lord shine through me for the family.
Amen.
That's all I can say.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. And I think most people here, Terry, would say we're glad we got a God that forgets those things, and we can stand before him justified just as if we've never sinned when we come in to Jesus Christ. Next, let me introduce to you Brother George Stacy. Brother George has been married to Dora. How long have you guys been married, George? A year and 9 months. And you were married right here in this place. That's right. And between them, they have 9 children, 6 boys, 3 girls. They have 18 grandchildren and 1 on the way. And they have 11 great-grandchildren. Now, looking at George, you wouldn't think he was that old, but he really is. So 11 great-grandchildren and 1 more of them on the way. And George and Dora joined the church in May 24th of 2009. Last few weeks, he started helping us clean the church on Friday. And again, whenever we have a work day, he's always here to pitch in and help us. And I've come to love and appreciate Brother George and Dora. And so, George, you come share your testimony with us.
Well, I guess I start back when I was a child, you know. I consider myself a child, you know. My mother got us started going to church. And I was saved then, I thought, in Lansing. But after I was out of the church and went back to school and that, well, the peer pressure was too much for me, I guess, you know, so to speak. You know, I wanted to be with God, but yet I didn't want what would my friends think of me, you know. And so I'm not going to take credit for being saved up until I come to the church, because I couldn't possibly be saved and live the way I lived. I mean, I'm not proud of how I lived. But I'm not going to go into all that stuff. But I did not live the proper way. I turned into an alcoholic. And by the grace of God, God done for me what I couldn't do for myself.
Amen.
And that's about all I can tell you. You know, I'm going to try and be the more Jesus-like in my life. I've always had a problem with a bad temper. Because I just, if I let it get going, it turns right into a rage, you know, and I've been working on it and working on it. And I'm a whole lot better than I was, but I'm not where I ought to be, you know. So what you see is what you get.
Amen. Mike, I can remember Ryan. Ryan and George are good buddies, and I can remember Ryan telling me one time, he said, "Boy, good thing you didn't know George before he got saved." I think he said he was a pistol. And aren't you glad, George, that God works on us and never gives up on us?
I'm glad he didn't give up.
Amen.
He should have struck me dead a long time.
Yeah. Well, we're glad he didn't, and we're glad you're a part of this church. And then, finally, let me introduce to you Brother Nick Yeomans. Brother Nick's been married to Angie for 4 years, married right here in this place. And, of course, we know Dominique and Shaylin and Jameson. Nick joined the church after he was baptized in October the 2nd, 2005. And, of course, he's an usher. We've actually got him working in the nursery on Wednesday night with Angie. And don't laugh, he's good. if those kids misbehave, he gives it to them. just teasing. But, of course, Nick spent a lot of time here this past summer as he was working for the contractor that did our building, but he also represented us. And I've come to love this young man, count him as a friend. So, Nick, why don't you come?
Well, I don't know where to start, I guess. Grew up in a house where my mom, she said, you don't have to go to church, but I'm going to rip your ear off if you don't. Every Sunday, dragged me to church. And then I got married, and my wife said the same thing with the other ear. So came, and my mom taught me a lot about Jesus growing up. But I really fell in love with Jesus here in this church. Come to know him as a good friend. Not a day goes by that I don't have a better relationship with Jesus than the day before. So,
amen.
Thanks.
Amen. So these are the men that we're going to add to our deacon board and to our trustee board. And tonight, in just a second, I'm going to have them come and kneel here across the front. I'm going to have their wives come and stand behind them, and then I'm going to have our existing deacons and trustees and our assistant pastor join me, and we're going to lay hands on them and pray for them. And let me just take a minute and talk about what we're doing when we lay hands and pray. Now, that practice is mentioned in the Bible at least 7 times. And just real quickly tonight, let me put those 7 times into 4 categories. The first time it's mentioned is in the book of Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Where Moses laid his hands on Joshua and asked God to give Joshua the spirit of wisdom. And the Bible says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And you know the story. Joshua was taken over for Moses. He was going to lead the people across the Jordan River into the promised land, the land that God had prepared for his people. There was going to be battles to be fought. There were going to be decisions that needed to be made. The land had to be divided. And so Joshua needed God's wisdom. And so we'll lay hands on these 4 men tonight because they also need God's wisdom. As they join, our deacons and trustees, I pray for all of pray for these 4 and the ones that we have now, that every day God will give them wisdom as we make the decisions and lead this church. And so we lay hands on them tonight, asking God to give them the spirit of wisdom. Twice in the Bible, laying on of hands resulted in people receiving the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 8 that Philip preached that Samaria, many people were saved. And Peter and John came, and they laid their hands on the folks, and they received the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. And then in Acts chapter 19, Paul went to Ephesus and found a group of people that was baptized by John the Baptist, but hadn't received the Holy Ghost yet, and so he laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Of course, all these men are saved, and when they got saved, they received the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, every one of you, when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit of God as well. And as a Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells in each one of us. But we'll lay hands on them tonight and ask the Lord to fill them even fuller. And what we're saying when we say that is that they'll yield more of their lives to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will fill up every area of life that we give him. And if we say, well, I'm not full of the Holy Spirit, it's not the Holy Spirit's fault, it's our fault. For not yielding more of ourself to him. So we'll lay hands on them tonight, asking them to have more of the Holy Spirit. Twice in the Bible, laying on of hands was for the purpose of setting aside a group of men for a special task, a special job. In Acts chapter 6, the first 7 deacons, the apostle laid hands on them and set them aside for a special job in the church at Jerusalem. And then in Acts chapter 13, when Paul and Barnabas were about to go on their first missionary journey, the church laid their hands and prayed for them that God would give them what they need to accomplish the special task that he had for them. And of course, we do that again tonight as well. We lay hands on them, asking God to give each one of them what they need to be a deacon, to be a trustee, and to help us here at the church. And then the last two times that laying hands on a pan is mentioned in the Bible, it's in the book of Timothy. And both times, Paul is reminding Timothy of the gifts that he received when the hands were laid on him. And so, again, those gifts are that spirit of wisdom. Those gifts are more of the Holy Ghost. Those gifts are the things that are needed to accomplish the special task that they're about to do. And so as we lay hands on them tonight, we ask God to use this occasion to remind them of those things that they've been given, and we'll pray for them that they get even more. And so I'd like these four men just to kneel with a little space between you here at the front. Leave enough room. I'd like their wives to come, if you would, and just stand behind them as they kneel. And so, George, if you would just kneel there, and Terry there, and Pete there, and Brother Nick right there, and turn and face the congregation, if you would. And I'm going to ask our men to come. And again, one of the things I'm going to charge the church with, and we'll see from Acts chapter 6 in just a second, one of the things I'm going to charge you with is to pray for these men. Not only these four, but these that are already deacons and trustees. They pray for you, and you need to pray for them. And so I'd ask you tonight, as we pray for them, that you would too, and ask the Lord to give them what they need to fulfill this role that we have for them. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for these men. Thank you for their wives and their families. Thank you for what they mean to us as individuals and what they mean to us as a church. And I pray now that as they take on additional responsibilities, that you would bless them, that you would fill them with that spirit of wisdom. Holy Spirit, you'd have more of them. And I just pray that you'd use them in a mighty way. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, thank you. We can go back to your seats. Just as we finish up tonight, I'd like to direct your attention to Acts chapter 6. You don't need to turn there. I want to read the first few verses. And I promise that, you know, we have pizza coming, and I usually try to get done by 7 o'clock. And one of the good things about having a preacher that was trained in junior church is that he knows how to preach a short sermon. Amen, Brother Wayne? Okay. But in Acts chapter 6, the Bible tells us about the selection of the first deacons. It says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration, in the daily food distribution. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and 5 others there. I won't struggle with the names. You read them. You can probably pronounce them as well as I can. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. I direct your attention to verse 5 tonight, where the Bible says, and they chose. And they chose. The Bible says the church looked, they found 7 men that were honest, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of wisdom. And I was thinking about some of our men. I thought to myself, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. I'm kidding. No. All 3, and I claim this for all of our existing deacons and trustees and the 4 that we added tonight, honest, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. 3 quick observations. Number 1, the church chose them to be servants. Servants. There was some murmuring going on in the church. Some of the widows weren't being taken care of in the daily food distribution. And the church chose these seven men to serve tables. The Bible says they placed them over the business. But these first seven deacons knew that they were servants. And so I say to our deacons and to our trustees, you have been chosen for the same purpose, to serve. I consider myself a servant. Our associate pastor is a servant. And each one of our deacons and each one of our trustees is a servant. We're not rulers. We're not dictators. We're not lords. We are servants. And so with a spirit of meekness, a spirit of humility, a spirit of compassion, and a spirit, hopefully, that's full of wisdom, we have been chosen, I believe, not only by the church, but chosen by God. Because each man we chose, we bathed in prayer and we asked the Lord's will, and only recommended to the church those that we felt the Holy Spirit was leading us to put into the deacon and to trustees. And so they stand before you, as I do, as the assistant pastor does, as servants. Those, and again, and I know we've done a lot of stuff with the building, and when I say servants to the church, I'm not talking about servants to this building. I appreciate what God has given us, but this building is not the church. You are. You are. You are. And so we are your servants. And there are people in this congregation that have needs and have hurts and have heartaches. And God's given each of us a great responsibility to minister and to serve those folks. It's not only a great responsibility, but it's a great privilege. And so I say to the four new men, to the existing deacons and trustees that we have, to Adam and to myself, we are your servants. And we are to help. We are here to help you grow in the Lord. We are here to help you make it from day to day. We are here to help you become more like Jesus. And again, we were chosen again by God and this church to be your servants. Number two, I want you to notice, and I mentioned this a moment ago, that the church prayed for them. The Bible says, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And I charge us as a church to pray for our deacons and our trustees. Bathe them in prayer. Hold them up in prayer. They pray for you. One of the things I ask the deacons and trustees to do is to make sure that I know about what's going on in the church as far as people that are hurting, people that have needs, so that we as a church can minister to those folks. And as they discover those needs, every one of the men we have spends time in prayer for those folks that are hurting and have heartaches. But I would remind you tonight that you need to hold them up in prayer as well. They sometimes have the same heartaches. They sometimes have the same hurts. And they need the same prayer that you do. And so again, I would charge you as a church, as I charge them, to pray. And then the last observation I would make, I want you to notice the results. What happened at the church when they picked these seven men and set them up as deacons, put them over the business of serving tables so that the apostles could stay in the word and stay in prayer. It says in verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. I believe with all my heart that these four guys that we dedicated tonight join the others that are already in position, and that is the desire of their hearts, that the word of God be spread and that the disciples be multiplied greatly. I believe with all my heart that they believe and have a desire to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to see people saved. And not only to see them saved, but become disciples of Jesus Christ. And so tonight, they join, again, the existing deacons and trustees to lead us as a church to proclaim that all men, women, boys, and girls are sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And to proclaim that the wages of sin is death. Not physical death as we know it, but spiritual death, being separated from God. When Adam sinned and Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God said, you eat the fruit, you're going to die. Those of you that know the story know when they ate the fruit, they didn't immediately physically die. But they spiritually died immediately because after their sin, God expelled them from the Garden of Eden. No longer could they enjoy the fellowship that they had at one time with God the Father. No longer could they be in His presence as they were before they sinned. And that is the wages of sin, separation from God forever and ever and ever and ever. And then we proclaim that God loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And as He hung on the cross, He paid the price of our sin. Every one of them. George mentioned he wasn't going to go into any detail. I'm glad he didn't. We would have been here all night. But you know what? Jesus Christ paid for every one of His sins. And I want you to know something. Your preacher is just the biggest sinner as Brother George is. And my Savior paid for every one of my sins. When He hung on the cross, God the Father took every one of them and put them on His Son. And He took every one of your sins. Some cases, they're so numerable in my life that I can't remember them all. But God took every single one and put them on His Son. And when Jesus died on the cross, He paid the price for our sin. You say, preacher, how did He do that? Well, He did it, I think, when the Bible talks about what happened on the cross. The sun went dark. And Jesus cried out in that darkness, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And I don't know how long it was. I don't know if it was the whole time it was dark or if it was an hour or 2 hours. I don't know. But in that time, God the Father, for the first time in all eternity, turned His back on His Son. Broke the fellowship that existed between them. And Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin. Spiritual death. Separation from God. And so He's able to offer to every single person the gift of life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're here tonight for that very purpose. You say, oh no, I came with my dad or I came with my grandpa. I came just to be with them. No, you didn't. That's what God used to get you here. But if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you're here so that you could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and have an opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Savior. We're going to stand in just a second. We're going to sing an invitation song. If you're here and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, I want you to come. Just come down. Meet me here at the front. I'll get somebody to take the Bible and from the Bible show you how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for the service. Thank You for Jesus. Without Him, none of us would be here and this church wouldn't be here and what we've done tonight wouldn't matter at all. But because of Him, it makes all the difference in the world. There may be somebody here tonight that's never received Christ as their Savior. Their life could change tonight. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would just speak to them. Help them see their sin. Help them see that that sin is going to lead them to be separated from you forever and ever. Help them to see that the only chance they have is to come to Jesus Christ. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Draw us closer to you because we've been here tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.